is great tonight.
Let's just keep praising him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my God. Thank you for being my King, my Savior, my Redeemer, the one who's restored us, God. You are greater, God. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is really good. He's really good. You know what? You can go ahead and be seated tonight. For those of you that watched online or were here Sunday, didn't Kyle and Alicia do a wonderful job? Let's give them a hand. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing your testimonies. And thank you for sharing something very simple that I think is really good. One right step today. I appreciate that. So thank you, guys. Kyle, when you watch it, thank you. Before we start, I want to just say a prayer. Let's just pray that God would have his way in the service and he'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're here, that we're listening, that we're hearing your voice, God. I pray that you would speak to every heart, every mind here, God, through your word tonight, God. Help us to hear directly from you, God, and let it impact in our hearts in a great way, God, in a way that changes our hearts and minds, God, to move on as we go forward. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I want to start by reading from Matthew 25. This is a familiar verse, but we'll read through the whole thing. It's 13 verses, 25, 1 through 13. And then we'll kind of go through it at the end. So it starts out, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take any olive oil with them, but the sensible ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And in the middle of the night, there was a shout, "Here's the groom, come to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." The sensible ones answered, "Nope, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves." When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, "Master, Master, open up for us." But he replied, "I assure you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour." Now, there's a couple things here we're going to just take out at the end. I just want to make sure we understand the punctuation. The master says, "I assure you, I don't know you." And that's the end of the story. And then Jesus says, "Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour." That wasn't the master. This was Jesus telling the story. So if you're here with us today or you're online and this is a story, it's interesting, it's lamps, they didn't make it to the wedding. But there's something deeper here. Okay, the lamps and the oil represent something. The lamps represent us, our bodies, who we are. And the oil represents the Holy Ghost, God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so when they said, "Hey, we're there, we got our lamps, there's oil in it, we're waiting for," and the master and the wedding is representing us going to heaven, us going to be with God. And Jesus is coming and he wants to say, "Hey, I'm coming to get you, but are you full of oil?" And we're like, "Well, I'm not full of oil," but he's like, "Are you full of my Spirit?" Being ready looks like, I like the looks like thing, being ready looks like having full lamps and being on watch, looking forward to his coming. So, what does it look like to be ready? It means your lamp is full and you're on watch and you're looking forward. I've been amazed in the last, what are we now? What is that, August, 8th, September? I've been amazed at the last 8 months of this year. We were up here, we were preaching, we were leading early on in the year, January, February, March. There's nothing really going on, no one, and all of a sudden COVID hit. And there's political unrest and social unrest. All this stuff is happening, even internally. And what was interesting is much was made about this year when we started. This is 2020. Let the puns begin. Was that Phil who mentioned that? Let the puns begin. 2020, vision, seeing right, looking at our future. You know, what does God have for us? Like, that's what the puns were. This 2020, God, show us what you have, right? Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but that's what we were saying. It was, God, give me a vision for my future. Show us you. Show us yourself in a wonderful, show us your mighty and wonderful plan. Where do you see us in 5 years? But then COVID hit. And all the things our church has gone through in the last year. And all the unrest in the world, both politically and socially. And I can't help but wonder if maybe we had it backwards at the beginning of the year. Could it be that God is showing us a 2020 vision, not of who we're going to be, but maybe he's just taking a moment in time and saying, hold on, time out. Let me show you where you are. Let me show you where you aren't. Let me just take a pause and say, the master's not here for the wedding yet, but let me just show you where your lamps are. I think we're getting lost. At least I was when I first started this year, but this has been a wake-up call. And God's starting to show me, hold on, no, Peter, this is where you're at. This is where you're at. Don't focus on over there. Yes, we have a vision, and we're going for that vision with a passion, but this is where I'm at. And God is opening my eyes. He's removing the distraction. Are the blinders and distractions being removed enough and the situations becoming uncomfortable enough that we are starting to realize the true nature of our walk with God, where we really stand? I don't have to tell you this. You know it. We're sitting here. There's people that we work with. There's people walking in the Walmart and the grocery stores. But more and more marriages are realizing that they are not actually that strong or communicative or intimate. More and more parents are realizing that they are projecting more of the negative things onto their children because they weren't noticing before. More people are realizing their religion is not really bringing the fruit in their life or having them be full of the Spirit. More men are realizing they have anger issues, pride issues, lust problems. Men have connection and intimacy problems. And while we won't admit it, many may be struggling with fear and anxiety. And this is all being uncovered in a moment where God has taken the lid off and saying, this is where you're at. More women are realizing that they are comparing themselves to others and not God's word, not what God thinks about them, that they are finding their value or failure in what they do or don't do for their family, their husband, their children, their church, their neighbors, and not who they are in Christ. Women, too, are finding that they have anxieties and fears and depression. People are finding the eerily simplistic truth that below the surface of an unfilled lamp is emptiness. Below the surface of an unfilled lamp is just emptiness. But there's a cool side effect to all this. It's not just all doom and gloom. There is some doom and gloom. But there's a cool side effect. Is that more and more sinners are realizing that they have been filling their life with what is not at all filling. It's like eating those rice cakes. You ever done those diets and eat the rice cakes? I can eat a whole pack of them things. And I'm still not even started a lunch. The chocolate ones? I'll try that. I get the like honey ones and it's like eating, you know, dried toilet paper rolls. Maybe all that has happened this year is to show us the status of our lamps. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe we're learning how full really is my lamp? Is my lamp ready? Is it full? Am I ready? Maybe all that's happened... Maybe this is a time of reflection, of looking where I am as an individual, where my family is, where my marriage is, where my relationship with my neighbors are. Because Jesus is coming. And I'll tell you, our church has a vision that we are passionate about. To see 25 churches, 25 plants in this area by the year 2025. And even though the years keep moving and the churches aren't growing, that doesn't affect God. He doesn't do math like we do it. And so even though it feels like there's so much crazy stuff going on and, okay, God, this is pretty heavy. You're really showing me I really don't have a prayer life and I have fears and I have anxieties. We're like, God's sitting there going, yes, I can work with this. I can work with truth. Truth is where it starts. But the sad part is, even though we have a vision and we want to see this, some of us don't even have our own lamps full. This is Wednesday night, so we're talking to everybody. Some of us don't have our own lamps full, much less be ready to help somebody else. But once again, that's okay. We can start here with truth. Now is our chance. Tonight, today, now is our chance to do a lamp check. to check the status of our oil. It is clearer now than it has ever been before. God has lifted the lid so we can see our lives. It is clearer now than ever before to do a lamp check. There are less distractions and we can truly notice where we're at. So let's start to ask God to open our eyes and show us. God, what am I filling my lamp with? Because it's not oil. It's not your spirit. What am I filling it with? And you know what? It's going to take some humble moments in prayer, both to say that prayer and to be ready for the response. But if you will do it, God will answer. God will answer. The prayer God will always answer is if you ask him, God, what do you want to change in my life? He will always answer that prayer. You will find out what your lamp is filled with by the fruit in your life. Whatever you fill your lamp with is what you will see when it is lit. Am I filling my lamp with the spirit of checking boxes? Am I filling my lamp with the service attendance or counting my presence in church? I know, we're not supposed to forsake the gathering unbelievers and we're all itching to get back here. That's not what it's about. But this is interesting because we all of a sudden didn't have this building to come to and we didn't have that 5 minutes to shake hands with and like, not people, I'm just saying like this, our mind's like, oh my goodness. And God's like, hold on, I want you to come here. I want you to worship God as a group, but I want you to have a relationship with me more than anything else. Am I finding my value or defining my walk with God by my church attendance alone? By the number of times I walk in this building, whether it's for a prayer meeting or a church? That's good. We need to be here. Don't walk away from this. If you're watching, if you're listening, walk away. Peter said we don't got to be at church. No, I'm saying it doesn't do you any good to be at church with an empty lamp. It doesn't help. Am I filling my lamp with the value that I think I have from my job, my possessions, my roles and responsibilities as a parent, my ministry? Am I finding my value by the things I do? The sad part is we fill our lamps with all these things. But we should be asking ourselves right now, is it working? Is it working? I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more. I'm going to sign up for more stuff. Is it working? I'm going to go lead something. Is that working? Not if your lamp isn't full. Oh, I'm going to get this other job and make more money. Is it working? Not if your lamp isn't full. It's not going to fill you. An empty lamp is empty. There's nothing in it. And the only thing that can fill this lamp is the Holy Ghost. Is my life that different than before I was using these things to fill my life? There's a question. We sit back and we think, what am I filling my life with? And when God starts to talk to you and he starts to say, you're filling your life with this and not my word. And we start to say, okay, what was my life like before I did that? If I gave it up, what would my life like be like? Why not try? Because it's not working now, right? Am I going to keep trying the same things in life to feel better or to avoid pain? These are tough questions. These are tough questions for me to say with a mic on my hand in front of all of you. You guys all know me. These are not fun questions to ask. Is my lamp full? Are we ready? Oh my goodness, God, you're showing me who I really am right now. Oh my goodness. I live with four women. It's always happening. Sorry. That was God. He showed me that so we could lighten the mood there for a minute. Yeah, he's showing me who I am. But it's difficult, right, to ask these questions. If it's difficult for me to ask it with a mic, it's going to be difficult for you to think about it in prayer. But guess what? You've already been thinking about it. You just don't know it. You've already been thinking about what you've been filling it with. You just haven't used these terms before. You're just feeling a little different. You're feeling a little more empty. You're feeling a little more lost. You're feeling a little more lonely. You're feeling a little more anxious. That was always there. I'm sorry to say, that was always there. So why do we have to ask these questions? I have to ask these questions because Jesus is coming. And I want to be ready. And I want to be full of his spirit. Jesus is coming and my three services is not going to impress him. And I don't want to miss him while I'm holding on to an empty lamp. I don't want to be sitting in my church pew every week with an empty lamp, without God's Spirit living inside of me. And I'm sitting here someday when the rapture happens and I'm like, oh, I'm in church. And where is everybody else? Jesus is coming and I don't want to miss him like the Pharisees and Sadducees who were too busy being a part of a church than being disciples of Jesus. Than spending time at Jesus' feet. Than learning from Jesus. Too busy acting out an old dead religion that they were not sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes I think about that, right? We've gone downtown, we've gone to State Street, and you know, there's, and I mean this with love, but there's the crazies on State Street that are, you know, with the, yeah, with the orange suits, and they're preaching, and you're like, this guy's a nut, right? And maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but that's the thought that goes through your brain, okay? Let's just be honest. But that's sort of what happened, right? Here they had this religious system for thousands of years, and Jesus comes and says, I am the Messiah. I'll tell you right now, if somebody came down on the State Street and started saying that, you and I would do what? Laugh. Right? So it's not that crazy that the Pharisees and Sadducees rejected him. It's really not. Yes, there was, they didn't see it from the sky that we see it. They don't see all the miracles and the fulfilling of prophecies. We get to look back and have that. They didn't see that at the time. And so I think it'd be really easy for us to fall into that. But here's the problem. Jesus isn't coming as a crazy man down on State Street with a beard talking about that I'm the Messiah. He's given us his word. And he's told us, I'm coming. Get ready. Get your lamps full. Jesus is coming, and I don't want to be busy looking at other lamps. I don't want to be busy wondering what others think of my lamps. I don't want to be so busy wondering if your lamp is decorated right, or if you have enough. You know what? I'm going to worry about my lamp. I'm going to worry about my family's lamp. I'm going to worry about my children's lamp. And I guarantee you, if we do that, if we are worried about ourselves, the love of God will just overflow in our lives and it will start pouring out into the people. But we spend so much time focusing on this. And God's like, no, that's not how it works. The love of God comes from me, from my spirit. Jesus is coming and I want to be ready. I want to help others be ready. I want to show love to my community, to my friends, to my neighbors, to those around me. I want to be a light in the darkness. But without oil, there's no flame and there's no light. One thing I learned from this story, it's pretty simple. Wise people keep their lamps full. Actually, this version, the Christian Standard Bible said sensible people. They didn't even go wise. It was like four steps down. Just sensible. Normal, everyday, sensible people, they keep their lamps full. So we don't have to say like it's Albert Einstein would keep his lamp full. It's just like normal people, just you and I, us normal people that make mistakes and say the wrong things when they have a mic in their hand and notice hair hanging on. You know, that's those people, sensible people. But sensible people are accepted by the bride, people that are ready. God wants our lamps full. He doesn't want our homes full, our stomachs full, our cars full, our calendars full. He wants our lamps full. He wants us filled with his Holy Ghost. Those things are fine. We need a house. We need a car. That's not what this is about. He wants us full of his Spirit. And when we are full of the Spirit, when we're full of the Holy Ghost, there's fruit. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, we naturally have love. We naturally have joy. We naturally have peace. You keep trying to shove peace and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness. You try to pull those fruits in and shove them into your lamp one at a time. It's not going to work. You fill your lamp with the Holy Spirit. That stuff all just magically happens. It's boom, there, it's God. But we're backwards. We try to work hard and commit to and follow rules to get value and be righteous and have fruit. That's so backwards. That's so backwards from what God has asked us. He said, you already have value because I've valued you. I died for you. And I call you righteous. Romans 5:8, it says, but God proved his love for us that while we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous. One of the hardest prayers I've had to learn to pray recently, because it doesn't make sense, is in the morning when I pray, I tell God, Okay, this sounds a little evangelical, but we're all going to be okay with this, okay? I tell God, God, I accept your righteousness. I accept your righteousness. I didn't earn it. I can't earn it. Nothing I've done yesterday or will do today will get it to me, but I'm going to accept it, and I'm going to live like I believe that I accept it. It's a little convoluted, right? Live like I believe like I accept it. But it's true. I'm going to accept your righteousness because guess what? He's already given it to you. So if he's given it to you, the only thing standing in our way is us accepting it. And Matthew 5, 6 says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. But once we start realizing this, it doesn't stop there. It's not just a God, I accept your love, which is good. We should do that. God, I accept your grace, which is good. We should do that. God, I accept your mercies. I accept your change in my life. I accept your righteousness. But we need to obey. To pick up our nets and follow him. I keep saying it, but we have it backwards. We focus so much on the result that we forget the process. We talked about that. That was so awesome, Bob. We forget the process. The process is where we grow. The process is where we learn. The process is where we advance. The process is prayer and fasting and meditating on God's word. That's the process. If you were hoping for some really cool like ending here, it's not going to get much better than that. There's no other way out of this. We keep trying. If we were to all lift our hands and write down on a board all the different, you have 10 things, I have 10 things, Brother Neesham has 10 things, you know, Sister Brazen has 10 things, we have 10 things, what are the 10 things we're filling our lamps with? We'd have probably 100,000 different things here. Don't do the math. But it's not working. It's the process of prayer and fasting and meditating on his word. But we're so busy living life that we aren't checking our lamps. But this is your chance. Now is your time. Because I'll tell you right now, I got some really good advice from somebody who's not a Christian. Well, not. My wife and I were looking to, we're thinking about having our first child. And the names will be left out to protect the innocent. And we were talking, and I was him-hawing, I don't know, I'm not ready. She's like, yeah, let's have a baby. And I'm like, I don't know, you know. And it was just back and forth, and I was talking to somebody, I'm like, I just don't know, I feel like we need to have this ready, and this ready, and this ready. And they looked at me, and they said, you'll never be ready for a kid. And what I didn't realize was that was wise for a lot of things in life. You're never going to be ready for anything, so just go do it, right? There will never be a good time, a comfortable time, a convenient time to start filling your lamp. It never gets easier to fill your lamp. It never gets easier or less stressful or less work to actually get on our knees and pray. It never gets easier to fast. If it got easier, it wouldn't be fasting. It doesn't get easier to sit down and read the Bible and say, this does not make sense. It's not like it all of a sudden just pops out. But you learn how to do it. You learn how to do it and God starts speaking to you. So we might as well do it now. We might as well start now. Because if Jesus is coming and it doesn't matter and there's never going to be a good time, then let's just do it now. So we're asking, okay, Peter, how do we fill our lamps? Well, I already gave you the punchline, but just finish with me for the rest of the sermon, okay? Well, we fill our lamps with the Holy Spirit. But let's look at an important lamp. Let's find an important lamp in the Bible. Probably a very talked about lamp, a very large lamp. The lamp that was built for the Old Testament, the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Now, if you remember, the tabernacle was what God gave us to, gave the Israelites to show them, this is the steps you will take to get into my presence. So they would come to the tabernacle, and they'd walk through the gate, and they'd see a great altar where they would have to sacrifice. And then they would walk a little bit further, and they'd see a laver where they would have to wash all the dirt off of them. And then they'd walk through the second gate or the inner side, and they'd be in the holy place, and they would see a table with bread on it, with 12 pieces of bread. They would see a thing of incense, a little altar of incense, and to the left they would see a candlestick, a big candlestick. And it's interesting because when we read in Exodus 27, verse 20, This is how he tells us how to build a candlestick. He says, you are to command the Israelites to bring you pure oil from crushed olives for the light. In order to keep the lamp burning continually. You know how to keep a fire burning continually? Unlimited fuel source. Or a fuel source that's always being filled. Back up. In the tent of meeting outside the veil that is in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to tend the lamp from evening until morning before the Lord. This is to be a permanent statute for the Israelites throughout their generations. So once again, what does this mean for us? We don't have a candlestick hidden somewhere, just so everybody knows. We don't fill it up. It's not, we're in a different dispensation with Christ. God is saying, hey, remember that tabernacle I gave you? Things are different now. You don't have to sacrifice an animal. You need to repent. And you don't need to wash your hands. You need to wash your heart and your mind and your brain and your thoughts. You got to wash all this so that God cleans you out. And we can do that through baptism. And then he comes in here and we got to eat the word of God, right? We got to ask God to fill us with his spirit. Just like they did every single day. They kept it burning continually. And so if God is using this pattern as a way for us to say, hey, Peter, I'm right there. But this is how you get to me, because guess what? I'm perfect and there's nothing like me, and I'm perfect and you can't go near me. So if you want to do that, you better kill every bad thing in your life. You better wash up real good. It's like going in for surgery. You should see what they do to go into surgery, because they can't let one germ into that body or it could have disastrous results. And now they're doing like masks and shields and like suits and all this stuff. You know, everything's different. All because they're afraid of one little germ. And that's a sick human. That's not an all-powerful, mighty God who's holy and who's perfect. And we just can't get near his presence. And so God's saying, okay, you want to go near my presence? Follow these steps. And don't, hey, make sure that candle lits. Make sure that is lit. Make sure there's oil in it at all times. And so that's what he's telling us for our lives. Every day they lit it. Just like the priest, we have to fill our lamps with oil every day. We have to light it with the flame of God, and we have to repent every single day. You could not get to this candlestick without going through the altar. You could not get to the candlestick of saying, I'm full of God's Spirit, without going through repentance. And so whether it's your first time being filled with God's Spirit, which he wants to do, and it would be so awesome, we still start with repentance. Or whether you've spoken in tongues many times, and you want to be filled with God's Spirit again, we start at repentance, which is why Paul said, I die daily. I got to get rid of this old man. We see it in Acts 2, first part of Acts 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, he starts preaching to everybody else. The people that weren't filled, he's like, I'm going to preach. Just look at that. He got filled, and also he's like, there's my ministry. Ministry comes from God filling us. It comes from our lamps being full. Once again, we try to do it backwards. I'm going to go do my ministry. And God's like, no, I'm right there. You need to fill up. But when we fill up with God, it's like, boom, God gives us ministry. God puts people in front of us. God put things in our way. It's just crazy how that happens. And so Peter stands up. He starts preaching. And in Acts 2:38, 2:37, they said they heard his whole message. And they came under deep conviction. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what do we need to do? And what does Peter say? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be filled. And then he says, for the promises unto you and for your children and to all that are afar off. So if you're reading this and you say, wow, they got the Holy Ghost and that's when it stopped. Well, guess what? I'm afar off from that. I'm both a far off geographically and a far off time-wise. But I'm a far off and I'm claiming that. So we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But repentance is the first step. We fill our lamps in prayer. If I could have the musicians come. We fill our lamps in prayer. We fill our lamps in repentance. We fill our lamps in talking to God and pouring out everything that we worry about. These very things I mentioned, these fears, these anxieties, these lusts, these prides, pour it to God. He already knows about it. Why can't we just throw it on the altar? As long as we're filling our life with this other stuff, God can't fill us with His Spirit. Right, Sister Vicky, the heart? But you're sitting here maybe. Maybe you're watching at home. Maybe you're watching 3 weeks from now or next week, Justin. Oops. Sorry, Justin. But our issues. But Peter, our issues. But the things in me and that struggle. But the COVID. But all the articles that were written. But the social and the political unrest. We don't have fear and anxieties in our life because there isn't church. We have them because we're not close to God. We have them because we aren't defining our value from God. We don't have fear and anxieties because of COVID and the governmental restrictions. We have them because we aren't close to God. We aren't praying. Our lamps aren't full. We don't have worry and depression because life is hard, and we have worry and depression because we are not close to, but we don't have it because we're not close to God. Because our lamp is not full. Because we're not taking every day and getting filled with God's Spirit. But taking every day and saying, God, I got to be filled with your Spirit for me. I need the fruits of your Spirit to come out of me. I need it to be there. And then God, if you will, make me a light to the people around me, the people in my life, my family, my neighbors, my coworkers. You'll know your lamps are full by the fruit in your life. But it starts with prayer. I told you I gave you the punchline about 10 minutes ago. I wish this was a more complicated message. I wish this could sound more eloquently, finding some deep truth in the Bible at the end that you're all like, right? But strangely, that's not how God talks to me. Usually it's pretty simple. We have to get back to prayer, to consuming God's word and not consuming the world. If you could stand with me. If you've ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, now is your chance. If you've never had the experience of having God fill up your life, this experience is going to feel so different because it's going to feel complete for the first time. It's going to feel clean. It's going to feel close for the first time. If you've never done that, you could do it now. You could do it now standing here at the front if you're comfortable. You could do it kneeling in your pew. You could do it sitting in your house by yourself with a prayer. You could do it 3 weeks from now when you're watching this or when you're listening to this in your car. It doesn't matter. But when you hear it, that's when we act. The disciples, Jesus said, follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. When you hear it, react. When you hear it, react. When you hear it, change. Because what we're doing isn't working. And now is the time. God has lifted the lid. You can see it in your life. You can see the struggles. But don't take those struggles in your life and be depressed. Don't take those struggles and say, everything's horrible. God's saying, I'm not giving you this vision, this 2020 vision to see who you are, because I want you to be worried, because I want you to be stressed or depressed or shameful. I'm giving you this so you can see that I'm here to help you. And you not, what you're doing before isn't working. It sounds when I start this that it's doom and gloom, but it's never doom and gloom with Jesus. It's doom and gloom in my heart. It's gloom and gloom in my mind. It's my thoughts. But when I turn those over to Jesus, I'm going to start acting like you love me. I'm going to start acting like you care about me. I'm going to start with repentance. I'm going to get on my knees and pour everything I have out to you. My worries, my fears, my anxiety, my depression, God. How I feel about myself, my anger at my kids, my non-connection to my wife, the sin I do actively and passively, God. My wrong thoughts, my wrong actions, my wrong motives, my wrong desires. God can fill that lamp. God can fill a lamp that's just emptied out with repentance. He will fill a lamp that is emptied out with repentance. And he will burn that lamp so bright. He will change your life. And he will change the life of those around us. But when we're so worried about the things around us in our lives and other people's lamps that we don't get on our knees and we don't say, God, fill me, I need you. We're just doing it backwards. Now's the chance to notice the status of your lamp. Or maybe to notice that you've been filling it with something that's not the Holy Ghost. Now is our time to pray and fast and meditate on God's word. Because everybody that keeps coming up here keeps saying the same thing. And I'm only saying it because they did. It's not in my note. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands and I will fill them with my spirit. That's not in the verse. I added that. I want to be ready. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. But you know what's scary? There's a lot of people that aren't. And I want to be ready to help other people when Jesus comes. Because right now, there's a lot of us that aren't in the Christian community. We're sitting in pews with empty lamps. And it's scary. And God is saying, I got you. Let me lift it up. You're going to be scared when I lift this up. You're going to be scared a little bit. But this is good. I just want to say a quick prayer, and then I want to encourage you, if you want to come up and pray and pray at home or pray in your pew, let's just pray right now that God would show us who we are. God, help me to see my true self. Open my eyes, God, to the real status of my lamp and my oil. Give me the strength, God, and the courage to be able to see what you're telling me and not freak out. God, show me the things you want to change in my life. God, I repent right now. I repent of my sins, of my wrongdoings, of my wrong thoughts and actions. I repent for the things, God, that I didn't do that I should have. God, wash me with your word. Cleanse me, God. Empty me out of every wrong thing, every bad thing, so your spirit can live inside of me. God, fill me with your spirit. I want to be overflowing with your spirit, God. Let there be fruit in my life. Not fruit that I'm shoving into this lamp, God, but let there be fruit, God, that comes from your spirit. You've promised it in your word. And God, I pray for every person, God, that is here in this building, every person that is listening or will listen to this, God. I pray that you would do something awesome in their mind. I pray that you would prepare them for what you are about to show them. I pray that you would give them hope, God, and not shame. Because you do not bring shame, you bring hope. God, I pray that you would bring hope and not fear. God, I pray that you would be hope and not condemnation. God, because you are a God who loves us. You died for us. You've given us grace, God, and you've given us righteousness. And we accept them tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. Find a place to pray. Talk to God tonight, tomorrow. Whenever you're listening, find a place, talk to God. Is your lamp full? Are you ready? Are you really ready?
take.